Joining us this morning, we have a couple of singer-songwriters who are going to be playing later tonight at the Celebration of Song Festival, going on the singer-songwriter showcase that's happening tonight at the Big Top Chautauqua. And more information on that is available at bigtop.org. But we are very happy to welcome to the studio right now Daryl Scott and John Smith. Welcome, guys.
Good morning.
Great to be here.
Thanks so much for joining us today. Now, you guys are not only going to be performing, but you are each doing workshops. Is that correct?
10-4.
Yes. Yeah, I'm doing mine on Friday. When are you
today,
doing yours?
Yeah, and he's doing Daryl's Friday, and mine is Saturday at 10:30 in the morning. And that's all at the Big Top there at the ski hill, there at the foot of it there. I think they have a little kind of a bar, you know, community room there. That's where we'll be doing them.
That's where the workshops are happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, we are going to get started with a song from Daryl here. He won the coin toss, so he gets to do the first song here. We're going to kind of switch back and forth. And what do you want to start with today, Daryl?
You know, for some reason, John Smith and I were driving up here and talking about this song a little bit. It was mentioned. It's called Uncle Lloyd, so I thought I'd do that. He was not my father's brother, but he wished that he could be. Told us kids to call him uncle, and we would be his family. He had a wife and kids in Fresno. The youngest one was 24. Dad had brought him into our house. They didn't want him anymore. He helped us work the family business, building fences in the sun, and worked just like a man of 20 till the working day was done. He and Dad would spend their evenings sitting in lawn chairs in the yard, where they drank a toast to Seagrams. Seagrams never went down hard. Won't you wake up, Uncle Lloyd? Got a lot of work today. We'll get time to make the coffee. Load that truck and be on your way. Friday night you can drive to Vegas. Maybe this time you will win. Buy a trailer by the river and you won't have to work again. Was sleeping in the workroom with a mattress on the floor, when one night I heard him crying as I passed outside his door. He cried, Rita, girl, I love you. Rita, darling, please don't go. I've tried hard to make you happy. I've done everything I know. Then I heard the bottle open, the tipping up and the putting down. Heard the rustling of the covers, and then he did not make a sound. I thought of 30 years of Rita standing sternly by his side, all the years of hanging in there, and all the emptiness inside. And I thought of how their children have children of their own, and how a man at 57 winds up living so alone. Oh, won't you wake up, Uncle Lloyd? Got a lot of work today. We'll get down to make the coffee, go load the truck and be on your way. Friday night you can drive to Vegas. Maybe this time you will win. By a trailer by the river, and you won't have to work again. Uncle Lloyd.
Yeah. Well done, Daryl.
That's Daryl Scott on KUMD. Let's just talk a little bit about your background, Daryl, for people who might not know. Now, you're one of those people that you kind of grew up in a lot of different places, and you've lived a lot of different places, right?
Yes, I have.
Are you in Nashville these days still?
I live in Nashville now. I've been there 17 years. Before that, I was in Boston, Massachusetts area for 9. Let's see. Before that, I was in Canada for 3 years. Before that, Southern California, and then a little Kentucky, Tennessee, and also Northern Indiana when I was a little kid.
And you also played in your dad's band when you were a kid. So you started with music pretty young.
I did. You know, music in my family was like, families who go bowling or fishing or whatever hobby they kind of do as a family. Ours was to play music.
And it stuck for you. Did it stick for any of the rest of the family?
Yeah, all my brothers still play, you know, in varying degrees. A couple of them, three of them lead music in their church, for example, or play clubs or that kind of thing. And one's a music teacher, too. So, yeah, the music kind of stuck, you know.
And you've really made a career, not only with your own music, but you've also done a lot of songwriting, and a lot of people have covered your tunes as well in Nashville, right?
Yeah, mainly in the country music world. You know, people with one name like Garth has recorded my stuff, and a lot of those country music people like Travis Tritt or the Dixie Chicks and stuff, and a little bit in the folk world too. Maura O'Connell and Keb Moe in the sort of blues world a little bit.
So and you've worked with Guy Clark. And
Yeah. So I've been really lucky. I love all kinds of music, and I've been able to get songs sometimes cut in different, you know, genres or this or that. And mainly, though, I write the songs for myself, and they seem to float, as songs kind of do, wherever they land. And I've been very fortunate that they've landed in some of that stuff and, you know, people recording and stuff.
Mm-hmm. And, John, let's talk about you a little bit. Now, first of all, John Smith, one word.
Yeah.
Now, where does that come from?
Well, you know, growing up with a name like John Smith, you can imagine all the teasing I got for years. Mm-hmm. And a lot of close friends when I was growing up called me John Smith just as one word. It was kind of a, thing done in fun. And then when I made my first solo CD, the lady who was doing the graphics was a friend, and she put it on there all as one word, John Smith, and I thought, it's a funny joke. And she said, no, I think you should do it. It's just a record, and put it on there that way. And so I did, and it just kind of stuck, you know. So.
And it makes you stand out a little bit.
I guess so. Yeah. So that's my story.
Now, you live in Wisconsin. Is that where you're from originally?
No, I grew up in Iowa. I grew up down near the Quad City area in Clinton County along the Mississippi. I come from a real big kind of farm community, family, 10 kids in my family. And I lived in California for a while, lived in Colorado for a while, and ended up settling in the little town of Trempealeau, Wisconsin, on the Mississippi, and have been there, almost 30 years now. So
how did you end up getting into music, and how did you end up in Trempealeau?
Music for me kind of was a high school thing. I was one of the millions of kids that kind of blew a fuse when the Beatles were on the Ed Sullivan show, literally just inside going, what was that? You know, and just, oh my God. And of course, every little town and across the United States, garage bands started happening. And I didn't play an instrument. I had a bunch of buddies down the street that started a band, and everybody was totally freaked about singing. They all wanted to play an instrument, but nobody wanted to sing. And I thought, well, geez, it's my chance to be in the band. I love to sing. And so I jumped up. And so I did that for a couple of years. And then I went off to college in Southern California and stumbled onto a guitar, an old guitar somebody gave me, and learned a few chords and just kind of slow but sure started writing my own songs, and was very influenced by Dylan and John Prine and Crosby, Stills, and Nash, and James Taylor, and all that acoustic kind of stuff that was happening in the early 70s through there and stuff like that. So, and then I was going to college, and finally that wasn't working for me, and ended up just doing little oddball jobs. First, when I sang, I did a lot of cover stuff, in which, you know, kind of put my songs in there. But it's been good almost 20 years. I was talking to Daryl about coming up today, driving, and that I've been mostly making my living playing music, you know, doing the folk circuit, and have dabbled a little bit in the Nashville thing, and a lot of
festivals, don't you?
Yeah, festivals, and do a little bit of teaching. Both Daryl and I do a little songwriting teaching stuff on the side, which is kind of a fun little other hat to wear with all within the genre of music and creativity. Yeah.
And we'll talk more about that, since that's part of what you guys are going to be doing when you're in the area. But why don't you do a song for us now, John? What do you want to
do? Okay. Well, didn't know what I was going to do, but then Daryl sang that song about Uncle Lloyd. And made me think of this tune here from my new CD I have out. Last fall, my mother was still alive. She passed away this spring, but last winter, I mean. But I was at the nursing home there where she's at, and this old guy come in, and you kind of get to know all the people in the nursing home if you go there a lot. And there was this old guy that I thought, God, I know that guy, Mom, and who is that guy? And she told me, and he was a guy that worked at my best friend's farm as a kid. And I just loved this old guy, and here he was in the nursing home. So that night on the way home, I decided to write a little tribute about him. Daryl, you want to kind of play along?
Yeah, I sure will, man.
It's called Hired Hand. Daryl's getting in the saddle here. Yeah. Now I'm living here down at the Westview home. I shuffle past the wheelchair rows, down the hall to the bingo room. Just after lunch every afternoon. But I used to be a stronger man. See, I worked on a farm as a hired hand. Hired hand, I was a hired hand. I plowed the fields, I worked the land. Now what you see ain't all I am. I was so much more, I was a hired hand. Well, we put up hay in the August sun, stacked it high in the barn for the winter to come. Back in the days of the Depression, jobs were scarce, folks were on the run. My dad said, do what you understand. Boy, you won't go hungry as a hired hand. Hired hand, I was a hired hand. I milked the cows, I worked the land. Now what you see ain't all I am. I was a proud and simple hired hand. I used to go to town on Friday nights, catch a picture show after the church fish fry. Some folks say I was a lonely man. I said it comes with the job of a hired hand. Well, the work grew scarce when the bankers came. And the family farms started fading away. So I moved to town with my sister Rose. Took a job pumping gas down at the Texaco. But I wore my overalls and my seed corn cap. It wasn't easy giving up being a hired hand. Hired hand, I was a hired hand. I mended fences and worked the land. Now what you see ain't all I am. They say I was a pretty dang good hired him. Now I'm living here down at the Westview home. I shuffle past the wheelchair rows.
Nice one, man.
Good job there, Daryl. Daryl sitting there holding my mic. My mic was having the old droopy mic syndrome we've all seen.
Teamwork.
A bunch of times there.
John Smith there on KUMD. That lovely, lovely song there.
And, thank you, Christine.
And Daryl Scott playing along on guitar, and they're sorting out the microphone.
Yeah. Here we go. Yeah, looking forward to this. This big thing tonight, Daryl. It's going to be going to be a big time, I think.
Now, you guys have known each other before. Daryl worked on your album, right? Or did a little bit on your album?
Yeah, I've been blessed. Daryl's been on, three of my records now, Daryl.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought of that. Three different records. Daryl and I met, I think we met real briefly some years ago. Just somebody introduced us at a festival in Colorado. But we kind of got to know each other some years back at a thing called New Songs Festival that the Mountain Stage people put on. And we kind of met there, and kind of a similar situation that we're doing tonight. It was us and a couple other songwriters in the round, mm-hmm. just swapping songs and stories and jamming on each other's songs, and we kind of became buds then. Yeah.
So that's how it's going to work at Big Top as well?
That's Daryl here and myself, and a wonderful singer-songwriter, Karen Zavolka. And
you know, I just had the chance to see her recently for the first time. She's just... great.
Isn't she groovy?
She makes you happy just to look at her. She just seems like such a happy person.
And she's like a freaking great cook, Daryl. You and her are head off. She makes the best homemade soups out of nothing in the middle. And then there's a girl named Adrienne Young. I don't know much about her. I heard her one time, and I liked what I heard. And Daryl knows her a little bit.
Yeah, I know Adrienne. We did a songwriter round with Beth Nielsen Chapman. In the audience was Desmond Tutu. And this was in Atlanta back about 4 months ago.
Oh, nice.
So that's the last time I saw Adrienne. So we're going to have a good time. Then a couple of players are sitting in with
us,
too.
We got Radoslav Lorkovic playing piano in the Squeeze Box. He'll be with us, who's been here the last couple of years doing this. He played with Odetta until she passed away recently, and Jimmy LaFave. And then my old partner, Dan Sobranek, is coming up from Wisconsin, who's a great singer and a flat picker and stuff like that. So we'll have a little jamming, groovy,
little jam.
Fun thing. It'll really be fun. There's a spontaneous, is that the word I'm looking for? about something like this that it's just kind of unpredictable. And but I also trust my gut sense. My gut sense, this will be a good one. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it sounds like a lot of fun. And it is a singer-songwriter celebration that's going on, and each of you is doing a workshop. That's the word I'm looking for. And Daryl, I want to talk to you a little bit about songwriting. Do you remember some of the, like, when did you start songwriting, and what were those first songs like?
I started writing songs when I was 12 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Again, if you picture that, I grew up in a music family, and my dad wrote songs. You know, it was not a weird thing to, you know, to write songs. And I hid my songs from everybody as long as I could, actually, as a kid. You know, sort of like what people do in a journal or something. And that's sort of the way I treated my songs as a 12-year-old and 13 and all that. And one day a brother of mine found a lyric, and he thought my dad wrote it, and he put a tune to it because he did that kind of stuff, writing music to other people's lyrics. And so he played it for Dad, and Dad said, well, I didn't write that. And so that's when I had to fess
up. Got flushed out, huh?
Yeah, I was out of the closet at that point. And so my early songs, actually the first song I ever wrote was a takeoff of an old Johnny Cash folk song called Delia's Gone. And Delia's Gone is an old folk song about a guy who kills his lover named Delia because she done him wrong or something. There's a lot of those in the folk tradition. And for some reason, that's what I was drawn to. And that was the first song I ever wrote.
As a 12-year-old.
Yeah, I know.
Those murder ballads were right up your
weird?
Alley.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you just kept going from there?
Yeah, I did. I did because, again, if you understand that I grew up with my dad, who loved really Hank Williams and Johnny Cash, probably number one and two. So I was inundated in that as in terms of songs and stuff. And then I got into... I discovered singer-songwriters like Gordon Lightfoot and Joni Mitchell and Jackson Browne and stuff like that. And then it was like, oh, my God, so there I found that vein of really literature in song, and I kind of went that way. I just thought that was the way to go, and really it's kind of the only job. That's another thing we talked about on the way up here. It's kind of the only job I ever had, even though in college I worked in the library and worked in the photo lab. But really, music is kind of the only thing I've ever done as a vocation, I guess.
And it was songwriting because you also sing and you also play guitar, and you've played guitar for other people. And when you first went to Nashville, you got work as a guitarist. But was it always songwriting that you were pursuing, or was it kind of a combination?
I guess it's been a combination. You know, the guitar playing in me and the multi-instrumentalist paid bills for a long time while I was, you know, not showing people my songs, or you know, even in my early 20s and stuff. And really, I was kind of waiting for, I hate to put it this way, but better songs to show up with me. You know, if you know the great stuff and then you see your work, at least this is the way it worked for me, and I my work didn't, you know,
size up.
It didn't size
to you. To you,
right?
Yeah.
And so I didn't want to go pursuing anything because I just felt I was still trying to find it. So, so the guitar playing, you know, kind of, you know, gave me my vocation. And then I needed to make then once I found songs that had what I call my writer's voice. As a matter of fact, that song I sang, Uncle Lloyd, was the first song I discovered that had my writer's voice from top to bottom. That was the first song.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah, and once I found that, it was like the dam broke, and then it was like, oh, so that's what I'm supposed to write about. I'm supposed to write about my experience. I'm supposed to write about my childhood and my view of the country or God or economics or what goes on with me. And then it was like, finally, it was there. But it took me, I was 28 or 29 when I wrote that song, so there's from age 12 to 28 or 29 to find a full song that sounded like me.
And the title of the workshop you're going to be doing is Where Do Songs Come From? Or Where Songs Come From? So where do they come from, Daryl?
I think the best ones come from what I call inspiration. Mm-hmm. And inside the word inspiration is, I'm pretty sure the word spirit is sitting in there. And so I actually think they come from kind of a divine kind of place. Now we could call it subconscious. We could call it, you know, spirit. I'm not really sure, but I just know that it's the best song come from what feels like a higher source than what I'm able to do on my own. And I may have a bag of tricks for guitar playing and singing and lines and this and that, but the best stuff really feels like it has this higher quality to it somehow. And so I try to encourage the students to pay attention to that higher stuff, because I think the better the goods are in that. So that's where I start. I start with the word inspiration.
And you're certainly not alone in saying that. For a lot of songwriters, they're not quite sure where it comes from, but sometimes you need to feel like you're channeling the song in a way.
Yeah, I have to admit it.
Yeah.
As when we've heard that before, so it's not an original thought, but that's what it feels like.
It feels like
a channeling.
Yeah, or sometimes I've written something and, you know, I'm just kind of deep in the song. And it's not like till the next morning that I look it out and I go, geez, look at that now. You know what I mean? Like, where did that? I don't hardly remember that happening. I just remember being there for it. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't going like, wow, at the time. But then I go back and go, wow. If I would have tried to think that, what I'm saying is, if I would have been coming all from my left brain trying to think about what's clever or what's, you know. So I agree. You got to make a space for that, for the spirit to slip in there, and then of course, I don't think Daryl disagree that, you know, then you do kind of get down, roll up your sleeves, and use all these years and years of songs we've heard and what we think makes it for a better song craft wise. You
mm-hmm.
know
that the Beatles songs, the
you
know, the Woody Guthrie songs, and everything we've ever heard.
Yeah, everything I've ever heard is in there, and we kind of use that as. We, you know, like a little toolbox, and maybe we'll use some of it. Maybe sometimes it'll be something brand new. Like, you know, when I hear young folks nowadays, they have a different way of kind of looking at how they might do verses and choruses and stuff. And I think, wow, that's a fresh thing. And that goes into my tool bag then the next time I'm doing something.
I suppose it definitely seeing other singer-songwriters hanging out with them kind of helps you to grow too. That's
absolutely
great. Daryl, what do you want to do next for us?
Let us see. You know what I'm going to do? The last record I made was a covers record, even though I'm a songwriter and I have my own songs to sing and play. But I thought it was time to do, to pay homage to the where I came from. And this is a great Paul Simon song. I did not write this. I would have been very happy to have written this. It's a great song called American Tune.
Many's a time I've been mistaken, and many a time confused. Yes, and I've often felt forsaken, and certainly misused. But I'm all right, I'm all right. I'm just weary to my bones. Still, you don't expect to be bright and bon vivant so far away from home, so far away from home. And I don't know a soul who's not been battered. I don't have a friend who feels at ease. Don't know a dream that's not been shattered or driven to its knees. But I'm all right, it's all right. We can't be forever blessed. Still, when I think of the road we're traveling on, I wonder what's gone wrong. I can't help it, I wonder what's gone. I dreamed I was dying. I dreamed that my soul rose unexpectedly and, looking back down at me, smiled reassuringly. And I dreamed I was flying, and high up above my eyes could clearly see the Statue of Liberty sailing away. Dreamed I was flying. Come on a ship they call the Mayflower. We come on a ship that sails the moon. We come in the age's most uncertain hour and sing an American tune. Oh, but it's all right. It's all right. We can't be forever blessed. Still, tomorrow's gonna be another working day, and I'm trying to get some rest. That's all I'm trying to get some.
Daryl Scott's covering Paul Simon on KUMD. And now you did release that album of covers about a year ago, is that right?
Yeah, pretty well exactly a year ago.
So are you planning on anything new anytime soon?
Oh yeah, I've recorded a couple records in between. I haven't released any yet, but I'm working on a solo record right now. It's actually started getting mixed this very day. And so I figure that'll be out next year. And And it's truly a solo record, that one. And the other thing I recorded was a very, very old-style country record. That'll probably be a couple more years before I throw that out. But right now, it's the next record will be me doing a solo thing.
Okay. We'll look forward to that. Daryl Scott and John Smith are here. They're playing it tonight at the Big Top Chautauqua as part of the Singer-Songwriter Showcase. And John, now you are doing a workshop tomorrow called Songwriting from the Heart. And that first song that you did definitely came from the heart, you can tell. What are some of the things that you pass along to people that come to your workshops about songwriting? And I know you've mentioned a little bit of them mm-hmm. so far. But
well, I guess the first thing that you know ties into that title, and it's kind of a loose title, but it's very much like to me, you know, Daryl and I were also talking about judging. They have song contests sometimes, and is that a good thing to do or not? And but yet we all have an opinion when we hear a song, whether we like it or not. And to me, the biggest litmus test is, you know, what do I feel from it? What is in my heart about it? And if it's got that heart, it can be the most simple three chord thing with a real simple understated story to something very complex, but yet it's about the heart. So I encourage students to, you know, be listening for that and to kind of challenge themselves to write from their heart space instead of coming from their head and say, oh, I got this great, you know, just picking up their guitar. And versus I try to come from a place when I sit down to write that I'm already in that kind of heart space. Now, the heart space doesn't always mean one emotion. There's a whole gamut, a whole ocean of different emotions in there, and to just lock into that. You know how you feel sometimes if you just saw a movie and it leaves you with this kind of feeling, or you just read a book that leaves you with that kind of feeling, or you just got off the phone with your sweetheart and maybe it wasn't so good and you're just left with this heavy feeling, is to just really, you know, don't let go of that feeling in getting lost in what the chords are and what the notes are and what the words are, just, you know, emote. So I kind of have that sort of drive the boat, so to speak. And but also in any given song class, you got to kind of get a feel for where the students are at and how much, you know, nuts and bolts kind of stuff they know as far as, you know, loose structure of verses and choruses and how chords fit together. It just depends on what level they're kind of at. And so, yeah, and sort of, you know, try to sometimes you work from a place, well, here's a song of mine, and kind of we kind of break it apart and say, I had some choices to make in this song, or I was stuck here for a long time, and I wrote five third verses before I found the right one, before it felt right. And or we'll do that with somebody else's song. Somebody in the class has a song, and we'll go around and kind of critique it sometimes and say, well, you know, this song really moves me this way, and but you kind of lost me right here, maybe, and we talk about stuff like that. So, mm-hmm.
Now, you have a fairly new album out yourself, don't you?
I do, yeah. I was going to bring you down a copy. I'll grab you one here before we leave.
But great.
It's called Gravity of Grace, and yeah, I recorded it this year and put it out the first part of June here, and recorded it with a fellow named Tom Prasada Rao, a guy, an Indian guy who lives down in Texas, and just had a great time making the record. One of the most fun records I made, where it just felt like, you know, so cozy and not to say that a little bit of tension can't be good in something. It can be good, but it just went down easy. And then I sent some tracks to Daryl. Daryl played, and some other friends like that. And just, it went really good. And it's gotten real nice reception this last month of July. I think it was number one on the folk DJ charts around the country. So it's gotten real nice response and feedback. So that always makes you feel good when it gets that.
Great.
So.
And
mm-hmm.
is it number seven for you? Is that right?
Six
okay.
Solo records. Yeah, I've done a couple other things with different little duos and stuff like that, but six solo records, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing I wanted to ask you about was Ireland. You visit Ireland quite a lot. Do you get music inspiration from there?
I do. I really do. I started to go over there several years back, just kind of like you would any other place, you know, like we go to New England to play or we go to California to play. I just kind of decided I'd go to Ireland and find some little listening kind of gigs. There is a little you know, small little market just like there is here for singer-songwriter stuff, and just met a lot of people, and it ended up, you know, and wrote a few songs, and now I lead tours over there. I go over several times a year, and I bring over a handful of people, and we got a partner over there, and so I do that. But yeah, the music is definitely an inspiring thing, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and most of my family heritage is very Irish, and which is one of the reasons I wanted to go over there, just to see how that translates. We're just curious about what it might feel like to go over to the old sod where the gene pool goes way, 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 way back. And it really has. Daryl's been over there too several times, and there in Scotland and stuff. And you feel it, don't you, Daryl, when you go there?
Yeah, I definitely do. And I miss Ireland. I've been to Scotland now for the last 3 or 4 years in a row, but it's been that long since I've been to Ireland.
Yeah. Can we better go over and do something together sometime?
Yeah.
That'd be a hoot.
Yeah. Show me where to go. I know you know.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah, the little crooks and crannies and stuff. Yeah. Yeah. And where, as they would say, where the crack is. And when we say crack over there, we're talking about humor, not drugs.
Well, one more song. We have time for one more song from you, John. What do you want to do?
Well, I was going to do something on the new record, but I feel like doing something different here since Daryl's here with me and we're talking about Ireland. I'll do a song I wrote some years back after coming back from Ireland the first time. And all of a sudden started being interested in my Irish heritage. I always knew I was, and I think it's an A.
Okay.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Anyway, so I came home, and there was a family gathering, and one of my cousins bought home this cool photograph of my dad's grandparents. He lived on a farm with them who came over from Ireland, and I don't know, just something about seeing those pictures of our old grandparents and great-grandparents and stuff that came over, and it just kind of sat on my countertop there for several days, and one day I just stopped and said I'm going to write a little tribute to those guys. So his name was Thomas Francis Hughes, and I just... Is that right? Thomas Francis sailed out from the harbor down in Queenstown, sailed across the ocean, prayed to Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. He bought himself some good ground, yeah, a draft horse and a new plow. And he sent for Mary Julia, yeah, to join him in America. Yeah, and they planted a tree, and the roots ran deep. Oh, reaching down to the heart and soul of this song I sing. Now I draw it up till it fills my cup. I make a toast, thanking those dancing in my blood. Oh, Thomas Francis sailed out from that harbor down in Queenstown. Hey! Well, they say that Thomas Francis, they say that he loved to go to the dances. Yeah, and he'd tip a jar and he'd sing a tune, yes. Oh, walking home beneath the moon. Well, now some folks say I've got his eyes. Some they say I sing like him at night, yeah. Oh, and maybe what they say is true, 'cause I've been called a singing, dancing fool. Yeah, and they planted a tree, the roots ran deep. Oh, reaching down to the heart and soul of this song I sing. Now I draw it up till it fills my cup. Now I make a toast, thanking those dancing in my blood. Oh, Thomas Francis sailed out harbor down in Queenstown. Hey! Yeah. I'll drop my leaves come winter time. And I'll join them on the other side. Oh, so if I have some great grandkids, oh, just like Thomas Francis did, well, I hope they love to sing and dance. Oh, and they sing one for their great granddad. Yeah, they planted a tree, the roots ran deep. Oh, reaching down to the heart and soul of this song I sing. Now I draw it up till it fills my cup. I make a toast, thanking those dancing in my blood. Oh, Thomas Francis sailed out from that harbor down in Cove Town, down in County Cork. Yeah, Thomas Francis down in Cove Town. Hey,
John Smith.
Guitar can ring the longest.
Yeah, John Smith on KUMD and Daryl Scott on guitar as well. Well, thanks so much, guys. That was so much fun.
Yeah,
thank you so much,
us.
Christine.
Yeah.
And you both are playing tonight at Big Top Chautauqua, and the Singer-Songwriter Showcase, I believe, starts around 8:15, something like that.
That's totally correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
And also, each of you is doing a workshop. Daryl Ellis is today at 1 o'clock, and then there's one. John is doing one tomorrow at 10:30, and that's at the Big Top as well. Well, have a great show, and thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
One little thing maybe mention, Daryl, I'm sure you got a website. Is it just Daryl Scott?
Yeah, darylscott.com.
All right, and mine is johnsmithmusic.com, and people can Google us and say hi.
Yeah.
All right. Yep. Thanks a lot, guys.
You bet.